Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. You can now join us for live streaming on YouTube, Vimeo, or Facebook. Our worship services start at 10:45 on Sundays. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled, Hellenist Widows' Lives Matter.
If you are of a certain age, you will recognize this symbol as the symbol for crisis. And you will perhaps remember that we were told that this is two Chinese symbols put together, that together it is danger and opportunity, and that is what makes a crisis. You will remember that because it was ubiquitous across all offices and workplaces about 20, 25 years ago. Some earnest manager trying to inspire everyone would put this up in order to get everybody's attention and to remind everyone that what we see as a crisis is danger, but it's also an opportunity. You remember that. And by that, I remember having an office and having a workplace where you could put posters up. Well, I don't believe they understood anything about Chinese and didn't have any offices or motivational posters. The people in this passage this morning would certainly have understood the connection. It is in Acts chapter 6, and it is a crisis. Truly, it is a crisis, a time that is fraught with opportunity, but it is also fraught with danger. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 6. Let's listen for God in these words that we might hear God in our times. Now, during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. And therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." Now, what they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So what's going on here? Well, first you have to understand a little bit about who these Hellenists are. A Hellenist was a Jew, but it was a Jew who spoke Greek and probably didn't speak Aramaic of the Jerusalem Jews. This was more of a worldly Jew, if you will. It was part of the diaspora, the scattered ones across the world, and who knew Greek, were partial to Greek customs. They did not use the same Hebrew scripture. They couldn't read it. They had a Greek scripture. We call it the Septuagint today. It's a little different. And they weren't even all that much trusted. Sure, they were Jews, but if we were to use the political rhetoric of the day, they were Jews in name only. They weren't exactly trusted. They were more outsiders. They were way too accommodationist. They were way too much and too familiar and too comfortable with the Greek customs of their day. And so they were sort of marginalized. And so what they're setting up is this story of here come these marginalized people, these people who really aren't in the inner circle. And now they're coming and they're complaining. Of course they are. And they're saying, listen, our widows, the Hellenist widows, aren't getting the same kind of care. Well, they're being neglected in the daily distribution of food. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. And the response, if we were looking for responses in some places, we might recognize would be somebody could have said, listen, don't talk like that. All widows matter. But they didn't say that. They didn't say that because widows indeed do matter. Widows are sort of like the canary in the coal mine, if you will. in the Jewish community. The widows and the orphans are the most dispossessed. They're the most vulnerable. They are the most, therefore, loved by God and cared for, because God cares for the vulnerable. In the Psalms, God is portrayed as the father of the orphans and the protector of the widows. You didn't mess with those people unless you wanted to mess with God. James, the brother of Jesus, carries the same theme through later on when he's saying, listen, you want to know what true faith is? True faith is taking care of the widows and the orphans. And if you're not doing that, it really doesn't matter what you say you believe. It doesn't matter what you argue about. It doesn't tell me what doctrines you hold or beliefs you profess. That's the litmus test. So yeah, this was a big deal. And they understood, and I think the reason there isn't this back and forth of diminishing the widows is because they understood that, yeah, all widows matter, but we can't say that unless Hellenist widows matter too. And so they took this seriously. Now, to our ears, and I would have to say our translation doesn't help this, it sounds like the apostles are being a little dismissive when they're saying, we can't be bothered to by waiting on tables. We've got things to do. We've got to study the word. I think that's a rather poor and unfortunate translation, because the word for waiting on tables and the word and the phrase for serving the word are one and the same. It uses the word serve. That we are going to serve our task, and we need someone else to serve over here. And it's not that serving the poor, the widows, the orphans, was too small for them. It was too big. It was too big just to let that go. It needed more attention than that. And so they came up with this idea that said, listen, we want you to pick the best of the best among us who is going to make sure that this is taken care of. Now, so they created what are called deacons, because that's the word for serve. That's what they are going to diaconia, the word, and they want someone to diaconia the poor. And because of this, then they thought that this was going to help. And they did. And then what was amazing, because this had never been done before, this had never been created before, the next thing they did was they, in doing this, it recognized that the power and authority doesn't belong just to a few. It now belongs to the many. And that there are different gifts throughout the body, and that we all need to express them. And then they did something that had never been done before. It's the first time it shows up, at least in the Bible, is that then they said, choose from among yourselves, but the word choose is the word that we would use for vote, by raise of hands, or the standing up. Vote. Choice had never been made that way before. But again, it's recognizing there's something that's going on, and so it belongs, this decision belongs to everyone, and so they voted. Now, the reverberations of that carry through in our tradition, at least, till today. We have ordered ministries of elders and deacons, and we vote on them. And we vote on them around the gifts that each people in each group has and the tasks that they have been given to do, because they're terribly important. After the service today, at least of the recorded part, we're going to move to the Zoom part, where we're in this in the live Zoom room together, and we are going to ordain and install laying on of hands of our elders and deacons. So this carries through. But for all of that, there's something that's even more amazing. It's not that creating a structure that had never been created before wasn't amazing. It was. It wasn't the fact that they recognized the gifts of the many. That's pretty amazing for the first time. It wasn't even that they voted, but that was revolutionary. But what was more amazing about this passage that speaks to the crisis of this day is who they chose. Our passage gives the names of several of them, and all seven, and it says, and so they chose amongst themselves Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, an acolyte of Antioch. Now, you and I don't know and wouldn't pick this up, but what the readers and the people back then would have known is that these are all Greek names. And scholars suggest that the vast majority, if not all, of the ones who were voted on were Hellenist Jews. They were the marginalized ones. They are the ones who weren't really trusted. They were the ones who were kind of different, and they gave them the power. Rather than hold on to power, which is what all organizations tend to do, and we as humans do, what they did was they gave it away. And in so doing, they created something that was amazing. How did they know how to do this? How did they come up with things that had never been done? How did they even know they could do these things? I think the answer is back to what the disciples were doing. We have been given a particular task. Ours is to attend to, it's to study, it's to serve the word. And by doing so, you go beyond just what the words say. You go beyond just what has been done in the past. As you attend to the word, and the example is the apostles, you begin to catch what God is up to. Something is going on. And maybe we even begin to see that God is doing something and now we need to change. It is not just about seeing what has been done in the past. It is about looking at what God may yet be doing. And it starts with the attending to the word and listening carefully. Because if we listen carefully to the word and we do not hear the cry of the poor and the vulnerable, if we are not able to attend and to catch what God is about to do in our time, then we better go back and listen better. Because God is up to something. That's the crisis. The crisis in our lives, and we're in a big one right now in our world and in our nation. But whether it is giant or whether it is small in our families, in our communities, in our churches, in our workplaces that we used to have, where we used to hang posters, our ability to navigate those places and do well will in large part be to the ability that we have to attend to and discern what God is up to next. I'm going to pause there because Leanne and Randy created this beautiful piece that is meant to help us do just that. It is meant to help us listen, be attentive, and to respond to what God is doing through the Word and through our lives. Let's listen.
Let us be drawn to the quiet places. Settle into the silence. Dwell with the infinite in the sacred stillness. Let us hear God's holy wisdom of the ancient words.
Heed the faithful words of Christ. this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Hey, what do you think would have happened if the apostles hadn't done what they did, if they hadn't taken that particular tack, if they had come to this crisis and gone a different way? What do you think would have happened if, rather than listen to and be moved by the cry of the poor and the widows, they had decided that that wasn't their thing right now and they needed just to focus on the work of their own soul? What do you think would have happened if they hadn't entrusted people who were on the outside, on the margins, and brought them in and given them, empowered them with things like authority, money? What do you think would have happened if they hadn't created structures because they'd said, well, that's never been done before? Or we can't give people a vote. What if they had kept the power and the authority for just a few rather than recognize what God was trying to do in their midst, which was give it to the many? What do you think would have happened? I think there would have been some hungry widows, at least for a while. I think others might have picked it up, so I think the greater danger and the greater tragedy would have been, even if other people had picked that up, that there still would have been a lot of widows, orphans, people who were on the outside, who would have gone to bed at night wondering whether or not they really did matter, whether they really did matter to people when push came to shove. I think there would have been a whole group of people who would never have gotten to express their gifts. I think the church would have been hobbled because of that. Stephen is one of those new deacons. And it gave him his voice and it gave him a place, and he ends up becoming so powerful. Stephen becomes the very first martyr of the church, and his death sparked a revolution. I think structures would have been left pretty much the way they were. Power would have stayed pretty much where it was. Authority would have stayed pretty much where it was. I think things would have stayed pretty much where they were, and not much would have changed. I think this new church thing probably would have faded off, because really not much really had changed. But it didn't happen, and thank God, truly thank God, it didn't happen that way, that they did do what they did, that they did listen for what God was doing and read the scriptures not just as a prescription of what had been done and what always needed to be done that way, but as a prelude to maybe what God was yet to do. Maybe they read it in such a way, and because of that, they were able to hear not only what God could do, but God was demanding to do. And because of that, at the end of this passage, very curious, it says, and the priests, a great many priests converted that day. You know who the hardest people to convince in any religious community are? It's the people who've hung around a long time, the old timers, the long timers, the people who get a little jaded because they've seen it all come, they've seen it all go. You're not going to impress them. Maybe get a little jaded and a little cynical about the whole thing. And certainly, I think the priests were in that position. They had seen a lot of things. And it is interesting that they had seen the signs and the wonders. They had seen the amazing crowds. They couldn't help but feel the energy. But it was this that got their attention. It was like, ah, now here's something different. Here's people giving away power. Here's people including others. Here's the structures that actually help and don't hinder caring for the poor and the needy. Here is something that has God's fingerprints on it. I want to be a part of that. I think that's still the crisis we are in. I think we are still in a crisis of a church that we could work in such a ways that basically is interesting, but become just less and less relevant. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many programs you do, how many crowds you have, how many flyers we send out, if not much really changes. But imagine if people really did change. I think one of the great dangers of our time, and for the last 100 years or more, in the American church, is we have taken this work of the discipling, of the work of God in our lives, and the work of justice, and separated them as if they were optional. And so we have some churches that are more discipling types of churches and caring for the inner work of the soul, and others that focus more on the justice and the caring. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that when you bring those two together, the results were explosive. Lives are changed, the community has changed, and it becomes the greatest work of evangelism. I think that is the opportunity that is in front of us today too. If we can heal that breach, if we can look into our own hearts and say, so what do I need to do? If I'm able to read scriptures and do the work of prayer in such a way that makes me more attuned to the needy, to the poor, to the outsider, if I am able to answer the call of the outsider and the needy, the least of these, in such a way that it drives me back into deeper prayer, wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if a church came together and rather than divorce those two things, brought them back together again so that the church became better and better at caring for the least of these? And in order to do that, bringing the people who are on the margins the least trusted and saying, we need your help. We need to be more inclusive because we have too many blind spots. We can't hear what's going on. We need you to help us see, and we need you to help work and to join us so that we can all do a better job. Wouldn't that be amazing? More than that, wouldn't that be the gospel itself? The good news of God embodied and lived out. Wouldn't that in fact be the completion of the prayer that you and I pray every week? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, even as it already exists in heaven. What would need to change in you this week? What needs to change in me? What would we need to do this week? Because the great crisis of the church then and now, it's not that there's problems, it's not that there's conflicts, that just means we're alive. The great crisis, the great danger is that we will choose just to be more comfortable in ways that make us less and less able to hear and to respond to what God is doing in our time. And the great opportunity, I think that gets realized the more and more that we pay attention to the charge that we go out with every week, that we give ourselves afresh this week. Go and love God with everything you've got. Go and love your neighbor as yourself. Go, and as you go, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In believing, may you abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. Hey, as you go, and whether or not you're going from here to the live version of this, so we get to ordain some elders and some deacons to their work, or whether you're going on to the work of your week, may the peace of Christ go with you. May the peace of Christ be with you. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.